Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God who wants to speak to us, who does speak to us in many different ways. And so, Lord, we ask that by your word and by your spirit, you would speak to us right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. I generally love meeting people, getting to know them occasionally over the years. So I've slipped into the trap of judging people by their appearances. Have you ever done that? No, it's just ministry, which for the Salvation Army is you stand in the middle of the street, often have a collection box, and you people come up and talk to you, and you sometimes get a chance to talk about Jesus, and people like to give you money and you chat with them. And this one time out the back of Hawkesbury at North Richmond, I was standing there and this rough-looking guy came up to me, and I thought, oh, I better keep my eye on the box. And he turned out to be a pastor who stood and prayed for me in the middle of the street. Isn't that fascinating? Only time that's ever happened. This morning, I want us to think a little bit about, is it possible that we may have misjudged God? If it's that easy to misjudge people who we see, how easy is it for us to misjudge a God who we can't see? So often God is seen as this big grey bearded guy in the sky holding lightning bolts ready to throw at the first person he sees misbehaving. Some people see God as being a heavenly policeman. Some picture him as distant or uncaring. Some as angry or aggressive. This morning I want to ask you what your picture of God is. Speak about a God who claims to have made us, who claims to have knit us together in our mother's womb, who thought deeply about us for many years before we were even born, who had a plan for our lives. This morning I'd love to talk about and introduce you to a God who desires for you to know him and have a relationship with him. On your seats, handouts, if that's helpful, scribble on it. If you get bored, draw great pictures. On the screen will be a slide. Just go through four quick points this morning. The first one is God wants to have a relationship with us or with you. I want to make it personal this morning. And in John 17:3, you just have to click the button again. Sorry, my slide's a bit too fancy today. Not really. Now this is eternal life, that men may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. John 17:3, just Jesus praying that just before he left this earth. God wants us to know him, and that means more than know about him. It means to know him. See, I know, who do I know? Like, I know Scott Morrison. I know about Scott Morrison. I don't know Scott Morrison. Interesting. There's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. I remember when my first daughter was born, and that's happened with all my daughters actually, but it was particularly predominant with my first daughter. I went up to the hospital to visit Melissa and her, and would hold her. I was much better at holding babies those days. And would look in her eyes, and you could see Dana's eyes this morning, couldn't you? That point of connection. I remember holding my daughter and looking into her eyes and saying to Melissa, when's she going to speak? That's interesting. The last couple of years of doing a counseling course and learning about attachment, the connection I desired, the connection I wanted, was actually the connection I was having in the first few days of her birth. As I looked into her eyes and she looked into mine, and we started to connect even before words were present. And I want to encourage you today that I believe that from the day that you were born, God has been connecting with you in ways that you may not even be aware of. My daughter at the age of 2 days wasn't aware, maybe, in her memory, that I was there, that I was present, that I was desiring to connect. But I was. And we were. And I encourage you to allow yourself to search your heart today, that maybe from the day you were born, your father has been looking in your eyes and has been finding ways to connect with you and show you that he loves you and that he's present and that he wants to connect with you. Number two, our problem is, and you know what, sometimes I think, oh, we throw out these words because they're not relevant anymore. I just like to define them. So sin is not a word we often hear a lot today, but it really means this. Sin is really just when we get independent and we say, you know what, God, if you're even there, I'm not interested in your opinion. I got control of this. I'm under control. I know what I'm doing. Mind your own business. Of as sin or sins, it's the fruit of that independence. I don't know about you, but when the more control I take of my life, the less control I have. Isn't that an interesting irony? Yet the more of my life I surrender to God, the more control I seem to have. Fascinates me. And it says here, for all have sinned. So we all love to be independent. We all love to say, hey, I know what I'm doing. I know how to drive this car called life. But we fall short of the glory of God. And what that really means is that we fall short of the best God has for us. That's the glory of God. Do you know that you were born to carry the glory of God? And when we walk with Him, our lives produce life in such a way that it glorifies God. It's amazing. And the other problem is, it says the wages of sin is death, is that we continue to persist in independence. We'll be separated from God and everything good one day for all eternity, I believe. So I want to illustrate this. I believe Adam and Eve were the first ones to experience this, and they did the same thing that we do. I don't know about you, but when we do something wrong, they hid from God. They went to strange measures to avoid God. Interesting, we often do the same. The God who had only ever been good to them. Isn't that interesting? They kind of messed up, and then they hid from God, the God who'd only ever been good to them. The other problem is that being separate from God means we miss the boat when it comes to the end of this life. It's like going on a holiday to Tasmania, driving all the way to Melbourne, but forgetting to book the ferry ticket to Tasmania. Showing up at the wharf expecting to get on and being told the ferry's all booked out. I mean, Melbourne's nice, but you're wanting to get to Tasmania. This morning, I just want to talk about Noah's Ark quickly as an illustration. In Matthew chapter 24, it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the end of time, at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came. Isn't that interesting? And took them away. They knew nothing about what would happen. They would have if they'd listened to Noah. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man, or when Christ returns. In other words, in the days of Noah, the people missed the boat, literally. God had made a way, and they refused to accept it. Noah had preached to them for years, and they wrote him off as crazy. Isn't that interesting? Who was the crazy one? But yeah, be careful to judge things by what you see with your physical eyes. Be careful to believe everything that you hear. I'd even encourage you to weigh heavily the things I say today. Maybe I'm not right, but you need to work that out. I believe God has made a way for us to have a relationship with Him that will last for eternity. So that's my third point. Jesus came so that sin could be removed. Christ died for the sins once for all. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And I know this is a bit of a touchy subject these days, but this is the way I see it, especially relevant on a day like today. You know what? A lot of people say there's many ways to God. Okay? And I get offended by that. I'll tell you why I get offended by that. Because if I was God and my son in the Garden of Gethsemane was saying to me, if there's another way, Father, if there's another way, Father, if there is another way to God, don't you think God would have revealed it in the Garden of Gethsemane then, so His Son didn't have to go to the cross? That's what I would have done as a loving Father. That's what I would have done. So if you want to believe there's many ways to God, good luck with that, but I do not. And I take offense at the very thought of it. Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus asked the same question many people are asking today. Is there another way? And the Father said there was not. So we need to consider that. We need to weigh that. I've not always been great with cars, and particularly when I was a young guy, and my first car lasted at least, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 months. And then my second car, you know, I thought it was a rally car, and no one on the road. And then you're young and scared and dumb, you know, or I was. You may have never been young, scared and dumb. But this one time I was driving home from work, and I parked in. You know, those days you didn't have, I got paid by cash, ANZ, and get either bank my money or get it out. I can't remember now. All I do remember is, and backing out, I think I scraped a car. And I was too scared to look. So I drove off. I thought, oh, I don't think I scraped it. And that night I got a phone call from my dad because my car was registered in his name saying, what have you done? I said, what do you mean? And he said, you've been in a hit and run accident. I said, no, I'm okay. I mean, that was probably 30 years ago, but a good considerable amount of few hundred dollars later for a fine of leaving the scene of an accident. No, I don't think so. I actually got fined. I paid for the other car to be repaired. Sorry, my parents paid for the other car to be repaired. And, you know, as a young guy, my heart was in the right place, and I said, Mum and Dad, I'll pay you back. You know, because they were generous, they offered. I couldn't afford it. I was a first-year apprentice. And they said, I will look after it. I said, I'll pay you back. I remember the day when I had enough money to pay Mum and Dad back. And I said, no, it's okay. It's okay. And you know what? That's what God does for us. All the stuff we've messed up in our life, God says, I forgive you. The problem, I'll pay. That's what Jesus on the cross was all about. He paid the price that we should pay for messing things up. And I find the problem is, we do exactly what I want to do to my parents. I'll pay you back. I did it to my parents. We try to do it to God. I'll pay you back. You know what? I could have paid them back. They asked me not to. We can't pay God back. We can't. And I find the hardest thing for us, and to receive things for free, you know? You know, last time someone tried to give you something for free, what do you say? What's the catch? Can I tell you there's no fine print in the Bible? It's all the same size. Okay? And there's no catch. That when Jesus says, I forgive you, he really does. And he doesn't make us pay for the things that we should have paid for. And number four, when we accept what Jesus has done on the cross, we come into relationship with God. It says, yet all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So now all we have to do is accept the gift of eternal life. It's the best deal ever, but often the hardest part. I've had to practice, you know, over the years when people go out and you go out for coffee or lunch or whatever, and you know, sometimes people say, I'll get it. You know, and you get into that funny, weird, kind of awkward thing. Oh, no, I'll get it. No, I'm right. And this morning, I want to encourage you to, when you come to God and think of God, that, you know, he wants to give. And he doesn't expect us to pay him back. This morning, I want to ask you if you have a relationship with God and what that relationship may look like today. Because God wants to have a relationship with us. I wonder, have you misjudged God? Because I know I had, and I grew up in the church. And I remember the day when I read and found in the Bible it said God was slow to anger. And I went, what? No one's ever told me that. And it revolutionized my relationship with God. So I want to ask you today, have you possibly misjudged God? Do you see him as always kind, always loving, always good? Because that's who he is. Always faithful. He always comes through. I'm not sure about his timing, but, you know, me and him are still working on that. And what that means is I'm coming to terms with accepting his timing because he's not going to change. I need to change. I try, continue to try, and hopefully do better these days at not judging people by their appearance. And I've certainly come to know that I don't judge God anymore by what I think I know or what others say, but what I've discovered through reading God's Word under the inspiration and leading of the Holy Spirit. That's how I've come to know God. You know the other way I've come to know God? It's through people who show the love of God. And I've experienced His love in ways that have just changed. Morning, what would it be like if you're hiding to come out of hiding? What would it be like for you to stop running if you're running and just say yes to God? He's made a way. He has brought us a ticket to the ferry ride to eternity, and all we need to do is accept it, get aboard for the ride of our lives. I'd like to invite the band up. What I encourage you to do too is just be, learn a new word in the last few years, curious. You know, sometimes we just write things off. We write people off. We write situations off. We write God off. And I guess if you're not ready to accept God, then maybe you're ready to be curious about Him. And so this morning I just want you to ponder that. As the band plays, you may like to sing if that's helpful. Often people come and kneel and pray at the front. We call it a mercy seat on the left and at the right there, and people will come and pray with you if you'd like that. You might like to pray in your seats and just consider everything that's happened today. You know, the blessing of people getting married, the blessing of people receiving beautiful gift of a child and celebrating that. And just sometimes, you know, it's good in our busy lives to just pause and ponder the bigger questions of life. Maybe today you just want to, you're full of gratitude and thankfulness and joy, and you want to pray in your seats and go, thank you, God, you're so good. Or today maybe you want to say, hey, Jesus, who are you? Are you real? If so, can you show me who you are? Those kind of honest prayers really engage God. And often God shows up in ways that we'd never expect Him to. If there's anything we can do to help, we also encourage you to use on your seats as a care card. If you have any prayer requests, this goes to a small group of people that keep your requests confidential. But also there's other questions on there. If there's anything we can do to help you in your journey of discovering God or growing in God, we're very happy to help you with that. Let me pray and then let's worship through this song. And at the end, we're going to pray a prayer that's on the screen as a recommitment, maybe as a commitment. That's up to you. You don't have to pray the prayer, but we will do that after we share in this song. Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you that we have things to celebrate about. Lord, I sense today that there's those who may need to shift their eyes off problems and onto you. Off problems and onto the good things. Because, Lord, there's always problems in life, but we thank you there's always solutions sooner or later. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to celebrate in our hearts, to release the joy in our hearts and allow that joy, if needed, to restore our hope in you, in life, in this world, and in eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Use this time to